Welcome back to the Sports Focus podcast. I'm your host, the one, the only, Frank. And as always, I am here with my co-host, Mr. Saucy. Saucy, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. It's great to be back.
Okay, so we have transfer talks. Obviously, that's all that is going on now in football, is transfer talk and Saudi Arabia, because, you know, Saucy does not like Saudi Arabia, apparently. So yeah, that's what we are going to pretty much, that's what this show is going to pretty much be about. So let's just get straight into it. Let's talk Declan Rice. The last pod we had, or the last pod we wanted to have, it looked like there was a battle going on between Arsenal and Man City for Declan Rice. Arsenal seemed to have beat out Man City for his signature. Now, nothing is official yet, but it looks more than likely that he's going to Man City. So my question to you is this. Considering all Arsenal have done in the window so far, what they are still trying to do, do you think signing Declan Rice moves the needle for Arsenal coming next season?
Yeah, he definitely adds to their cause, because in a previous show, I've said that Arsenal are not title contenders unless they make, you know, significant improvements to their squad. And Declan Rice is definitely a step in the right direction, like a huge step. Like, he's the kind of person that bolsters your squad like a lot, because it doesn't just give you protection for the back four. He can drive your team forward. He can set the pace of a game. You know, Declan Rice is the kind of player, even from that position he plays, he can win you games. So, definitely.
Yes.
Is a step in the right direction. So, if Arsenal makes one or two of this kind of signings, I know it will cost a lot of money, but if they can add like one or two more people to maybe a striker and maybe a defender, because I don't think they have any cover in center back. We saw how the team crumbled when they lost Saliba. Mm. I think if they can just add one or two, then definitely we'll be talking about Arsenal trying to win the title again soon.
Okay, yeah, so I agree with you. I think he is... I thought signing Havertz was Arsenal saying, we are not entirely sure how good we are. That was my opinion. I felt maybe they thought last season was... They didn't want to get carried away by what was happening last season, so they were just still, you know, gauging the water, just trying to get to improve little by little. I feel like Declan Rice definitely improves them a lot. He solves a particular problem that they have, and he is just far better than any other person they have in that particular position. You mentioned defenders. They are also trying to get Jurrien Timber, who is a very good player. He's a center back, can also play the the Ben White role. And I was thinking about Rice. I was thinking about Rice, the player, yesterday night. And because I think we've talked about Havertz before, and I think the two of us believe he is a striker, right? You believe he's a striker. He's a center forward. That's basically where you get the most out of him. Do you agree with that?
It's 50-50.
Okay, so, but there have been reports that Arteta is planning on playing him as a midfielder in the Xhaka role.
That
so
is beautiful.
Basically as an extra body inside the box. Exactly. And I think prior to signing Rice, it made no sense. With Rice in the team now, you have somebody who can, you know, cover up space behind Havertz, and it just makes so much sense. Now, obviously, that means Odegaard's role is probably going to change a little bit, because you still need somebody to, when you settle defense, you still need somebody to slot in beside Rice in your defensive phase. And I don't think Havertz is going to do that, because that's what Xhaka did. Xhaka went box to box, basically. So I'm expecting maybe Odegaard to have maybe a reduced role in terms of what he does for them in the final third, and maybe just be a little bit more defensive minded. But Havertz and Rice now on the team, it makes a whole lot of sense why Arsenal wants Havertz. And if they can find a way to start a team that has Gabriel Martinelli, Kai Havertz, Gabriel Jesus, Bukayo Saka, Martin Odegaard, and Declan Rice, I think that definitely puts them right up there among one of the best teams in the league. And they had already proven they were that last season.
So I'm very excited to see how everything will play out next season. We can see that they have the right intentions. We have always known Arsenal for, during Arsene Wenger for signing inconspicuous young players that will, make a name. But now we're seeing that they are making intent that they can really battle for the title. And having Havertz in your team, because Havertz is a presence. So having Havertz in midfield, having Declan Rice, and then having, what do you got? With his brilliance, then having Saka, then if you can get a brilliant striker and Jesus, as in, like, when you need this one, you will not have quality off the bench when you need, some kind of players to change the game. You have, because the current Arsenal, they don't have that. They have Reece Nelson, they have Eddie Nketiah, which are, they are decent players, but they are not the kind of players you need to maybe change the flow of a game or to get you to that Premier League trophy. So I'm really happy for the business they're doing. I'm always excited when, the Premier League gets more competitive. So let's see how it all plays out.
Okay, so that's nice. So let's talk about Manchester United, which we actually don't talk a lot of Manchester United, considering that I'm a Man United fan. But let's do that a little bit now. Let's talk Mason Mount, who seems to be pretty much on his way to Old Trafford for a 50 plus 5 million fee, which I think is reasonable for a player of his quality. And he obviously is coming from, I can't call Chelsea rivals now because they finished 12th last season and they're just abysmal. But he's coming from a relatively small club in London, in Chelsea. I like Mount. I think you know this, a lot of people know this. I have always been a big fan of Mount. You guys actually, you in particular, you say I like a specific type of player. I think that kind of player is what Mount is, somebody who is high energy and is pretty much can do every single thing you want him to do for you on the pitch, from a midfield perspective. And it's a big buy for me, in my opinion, because I think United had last season certain problems. One, they could not press really well, and in games that he wanted to press well, you had to play Fred. And if you play Fred, he gives you energy, but he can't really sustain possession because he is hit and miss with his technique. Mount solves those two problems. He is going to give you good output defensively, and then he's not a net negative when you pass him the ball. Now, they are still going to struggle to sustain pressure and to play out of the back because Man U they don't have a specialist that does that for them in midfield. But signing Mason Mount, one, he's a player I've always loved, and I think it solves problems for Man United, and I am a big, big fan of the deal. What say you?
Well, this is a topic that pains me to talk about, and I'm not here to talk about how it's a good deal for Man United. All I can say is congrats. You guys have got a good one, and I wish you guys fail with Mount, and I wish Mount all the best. No. Mount, how could you leave us? But it's understandable. And I'm really excited to see how Mount will fit into the United setup. Because of the way United set up, United, like the way Ten Hag played most times this season was, try to break teams on the counter. Mount is the kind of player that can drive with the ball. He can play different roles in midfield. He can even play on the wing if you need him. So it's a very it's like if you sign a player like Mount, you know that okay, fine, you're going to get like 7 out of 10 every game. So I'm really looking forward to, like I said, the Premier League is going to be hot next season. But I still wish Man U all the negative bad thing that I can possibly get.
So, let's move. Let's talk Man City. Let's talk Man City. Because in the beginning of the pod, we talked about them basically being in a battle for Declan Rice. I don't know if you've seen this. There's I should remember her name. Her name is Eni Aluko. She was on TalkSports. Now, I don't typically listen to stuff on TalkSports because there are just some people on there that takes are crazy. But she said she felt like Man City never really wanted Declan Rice. Now, apparently, she was a head of football or a sporting director for a club, and she says sometimes she calls other clubs to put in a bid for a player that her club wants, just so she can force the hand of her own club. Does that make any sense? Like, so
It
say for
does.
instance, Arsenal wanted to sign Declan Rice, and they wanted to sign him for 100 million, but the club wants to bid 90. So you tell Man City, bid 95, so you can force my club to bid 100. So that was what she was saying, basically. I just wanted to know what your take on that was in that particular scenario.
It makes sense because sometimes you don't know you want something on you until you want to lose said thing. It's funny, you know, the way the
True.
human mindset works. Like if there's no threat to something, like you want to buy something, there's no threat. But if you just notice that, okay, fine, this thing, not I'm not the only one that wants it, other people desire it, then said thing becomes more desirable and becomes more valuable. So it makes sense. It's just using the human personality and mindset to your advantage.
So I guess in that note, it then sort of makes sense that Man City want to spend pretty much that same amount on a defender instead of a midfielder, right? Because they're going in, they've been flirting with Jasko Gvardiol for a while now, and it seems like they are going to land him. Now, he's a fantastic prospect. He's not just a great 1v1 defender, he's one of those type of center backs that makes he does a lot of good things with the ball, basically, which is the Man City way. So they seem to want him on their team. And we were talking about this before the pod started, and I'll just let you make that point. Why do they need another center back?
Realistically, if you look at their squad, they don't. But you know, with Pep now, I'm sure he might be planning to play Gabriel in strike. Who knows? Is so is because I've seen, because if you look at the City side, technically what they need is a left back and maybe a backup right back. That's where they need more players actually, out wide. But now because they have lost, they lost Zienko, they lost Cancelo, and they only signed this young guy, I can't remember his name, that plays left back but has never played left back, maybe only once or twice. So now, you know, we see him start sometimes five center backs in a game. So you know, what's not broke, don't fix. You played five center backs, won the league. Definitely you need more center backs for cover, and this is without Laporte even playing last season. So who knows? We can see any of the center backs start anywhere on the team. So with Pep, we always know he finds a way to make it work. He finds a way to make it work. So I'm not questioning it yet. Let's just see how. And it would be nice to have Gavdiol, like whatever his name is, in the Prem. He's a fantastic player, and Leipzig wants him to be like the highest defender, like the most valuable defender.
Most
Yeah.
expensive defender,
So it's a lot, yeah, but.
I can't add anything more to that. I think we are both on lockstep on that. Let's talk Liverpool a little bit. We haven't really talked a lot about McAllister because that seemed to be the only deal they had done at the time. Right now they've brought in, okay, this is another difficult name, Dominik Szoboszlai from Leipzig again, also the Hungarian. I want us to talk about that now, and they also want to get Romeo Lavia from Southampton. So before we hone in a little bit on Szoboszlai, because I felt like that was a weird one, a somewhat okay fit, but a weird one. I feel like Liverpool is finally taking shape. They have McAllister, who we've seen over the last couple of seasons is a really good player, not just for Brighton, but what his role for Argentina in the World Cup. They are getting a good young player, and if they get Romeo Lavia, someone who can control the tempo of the game, is also very good defensively, and Szoboszlai, who is, for intents and purposes, is just, I think the easiest way to define him, if you don't know who he is he's a Liverpool midfielder. He's all energy, and he's a creative type. So it's a Wijnaldum replacement that is far, far, far late. You know, Wijnaldum left like 2 or 3 seasons ago. They should have replaced him a long time ago. They've done that now. So, and I talked about Liverpool. We talk about Liverpool a lot. I told you this team, I feel when they get it right in terms of signing, they are just going to go back to where they used to be, which is title contenders, first or second, worst case scenario. I think if they can get Romeo Lavia through the line, this probably it makes sense that they finish there again, seen as top two contenders. Do you think are we on lockstep in that?
I don't think I can even add anything else to that because I feel Liverpool, they're the kind of club that they hardly make mistakes when they're going in on deals. Like, you know, they just find they you, like you said, they have a kind of player. Like, you just, oh, nah, Liverpool can't
Yes.
play at this. Like, just energy and giving 100%. And I think that's what they will get.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to contribute to because we're on the same
Yeah.
page.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting though, because at the end of last season they played your guy, our guy, my guy actually, because he was on my FPL team, Trent. They played him in midfield a little bit from right back, obviously. So maybe they continue to do that this season. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what I really don't know what Liverpool have cooking in terms of like tactical shape and all that, because they tried a lot of things to try and get better defensively last season. It'll be interesting to see what they do about Trent. Let's talk about that though. Because what is your take on Trent in midfield? Because I feel like we've had a Trent conversation before where I basically called him Wan-Bissaka, but the offensive version of Wan-Bissaka. And because, you know, in the world now, we favor players that can give you something offensively, someone that can create goals. It feels like we don't give Trent the kind of stick we give for Wan-Bissaka, who is just good defensively and nothing offensively. And I feel we sort of agreed. We might disagree in terms of how good he can be in midfield. What do you think about Trent in midfield?
I think Trent in midfield makes sense, but I think it makes sense. But I think the issue with Trent is physically he's a weak guy.
What is
Like
okay?
it's like if he's not on the ball, he just can't seem to really do much. That's
Mm.
like he's brilliant with the ball, but without the ball, even in midfield, you still need to be able to, you know.
Okay.
He's good. Like we know Trent is good. Like if Liverpool keeps possession, Trent is one of the best players in the world. In midfield or at right back, he's one of the best in the world. But if Liverpool are, you know, facing some kind of pressure, then we see him being exploited. But that aside, Trent is still like any team will die to have like a player like Trent in their team. But it makes more sense to have him in midfield. In this current state of Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I anticipated we were going to disagree on this particular thing, because I don't know. He does not do what Zinchenko does, which is, I mean, and I know it's a little bit unfair because Zinchenko is basically a midfielder that is playing as a fullback, but he does not offer you control from midfield. So he's not the kind of person that you expect to like always give the ball, and he's going to try and find something. He's going to try and create ways for you guys to win. Trent is very good in the final third. His ability to make the final pass, the assist pass. I feel like every other thing apart from that is so mediocre. It just makes little sense to put him in midfield, because if you pass him the ball, he's not really very good at carrying or driving the ball in midfield. He's not the type of person that is going to dictate tempo for you like Zinchenko, and then, you know, Cancelo can drive in midfield. So I just feel he's very good at just one specific thing, which is finding the last pass. And it's unfortunate that those are the kind of things that win you games. Maybe I am, you know, maybe I've dug myself a hole too deep here, and but yeah, I'm willing to die on this hill. Trent in midfield, I don't think I don't think it's going to work as much as people think it will.
Hey, I just, that like I think that is what like I was trying to think about him when I was saying that he's a weak guy. Like Like exactly the way you said, it's like if you give him the ball, like you're expecting him to find that killer pass to the end. It's not as if you're trying to give him the ball to build up play, which makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Thinking of, like, I'm trying to think of how he plays, which makes sense. Like, if you give Trent the ball, you just expect him to one cross diagonal pass to the, you know, to find that pass that, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, that is a weird guy. He's a weird guy. He's good technically, but yeah. It's weird, but so okay. That's why it actually makes sense playing him right back, because maybe by the time he gets the ball, it's already out wide, you know, in that final third.
Okay, so let's move on from that before we close up the pod. Let's talk. I don't know. Do you want to say anything about Maddison and Manu Solomon, or should we just move on? I feel like there's nothing to say here. I really don't know. I'll just say this. I really don't know what Spurs will be next season. I know very little about their new coach. Getting Maddison means he probably wants to play number 10. Because I feel like that's his best position. He's obviously not going to bench Son or Kulusevski. So, and then Manu Solomon is probably just... he's going to be a backup player for either Son or Kulusevski. So... I really don't know what to say about that here.
Maddison, Richarlison, Son, Kane, Kulusevski. That's, you know, it looks like, you know, that.
All at the same time. Don't do that. It's not even possible.
No. It's not. It is. 4-4-2.
It's the...
No, chill. Hear me out. 4-4-2. Kane, Richarlison up front. Okay. Son up the left. Kulusevski up the right. Maddison in midfield with Højbjerg.
So, a diamond?
No, just flat.
Okay, no, not a diamond. Just regular.
Regular 4-4-2.
With Højbjerg and Maddison at the base of midfield. They're going to run you straight.
No.
They're not enough legs in that midfield.
Think about it. Højbjerg is legs enough. Legs for days.
I agree, but I want us to move on, because I want us to talk. Let's talk Harry Kane a little before we have one more thing for us to do before we go. Let's talk Harry Kane. Now, I don't think the Harry Kane to Bayern thing is going to work. But we, the two of us, have had a lot of Harry Kane conversations on the podcast with regards legacy. How good of a player is he really if he does not win? And my major point is this. It feels like this Bayern move is a little bit too late. Because obviously, if he goes to Bayern, we expect him to win the league. Now, that's going to be Harry Kane's first real title. And it's going to be nice. It's going to be something that he's going to cherish and all that. But the way the sports media works, we are basically going to gauge whatever he does at Bayern by what he does in Champions League. And so if you were Harry Kane right now, would you rather stay in the Premier League, break the highest goal scorer record, even if that means not winning anything with Spurs? Or would you rather go to Bayern Munich and just try and fill up your closet with trophies in Germany?
Like, if I go to Bundesliga with Bayern, will I really value the Bundesliga title? Because I expect us to win it. If I was Harry Kane now, I've already stayed in England for this long, and everybody in England, everybody around the world is talking about how close I am to breaking Alan Shearer's record. And that's where I even have my eyes set on. And I'm just like, how many goals away? I would remain in England, try and break the record, and pray that maybe Spurs gets an FA Cup or something, you know? Because, you know, maybe Carabao. Because, you know, pray, Hail Mary. Or maybe win, maybe Europa League or, you know, conference, you know, something. You know? But it's too late. Like, it's too late. In my opinion, it's too late.
Yeah. So you feel like him being the highest goal scorer in the Premier League will do a lot more for his legacy than winning the Bundesliga and the DFB Pokal and whatever other cup they have in Germany.
Yes, by far more. The only move he should make is maybe he should go to another English team, maybe like United or Chelsea, you know, teams that can win titles. Liverpool with Kane.
About Nunez is there and Gakpo is like the Hurricane, but Dutch.
No. Those guys are slim guys. Kane is built different.
Kane is built like Kane is one of one. That's for sure.
Kane would just be like one. It'll be like a Firmino that can score.
Yeah. True. Okay, so let's do Saudi Arabia before we drop, because we are trying so hard to make this podcast under 30 minutes. We are at 27 right now. Let's see. What do you have to say about you want to rant about Saudi Arabia again? Go on.
I didn't take any piece, honestly. Like, anytime I open my phone, Twitter, Al-Alil, Al-Whatever, blood the fucking... Gerrard now, that's the end of his career now. Like, he can't come back from coaching in Saudi Arabia now. To coaching, you can't.
I think, I'm sorry for cutting off. I think the guy that was coaching Ronaldo's team right now, I think he moved from Europe to there, and I think he's found a job in Europe again. But yeah, you're right. This is pretty much the end for Gerrard, because it did not end very well for him at all at Aston Villa.
What was the name of the guy? That's, you know, Ronaldo's team.
You
die when you go to Saudi Arabia. Nobody remembers your name. In 2 years, we'll be thinking about, remember the guy that coached Aston Villa and went to Saudi Arabia? You know, he's not. That's all we're able to Gerrard. Now, they just signed Mendy. They signed Firmino in the same team. Then we also have
they have Benzema, Kante, and Jota, who is a striker from Celtic. I think he's like 24-year-old, really good prospect, by the way. They signed those three on the same team also. Your guy Ziyech apparently failed a medical or did not. I don't know.
Maybe something's wrong with his knee or something. My question is, like, will Saudi Arabia, like, will they become something to, like, you know, will they become a force to be reckoned with? Because it's very funny. Do they even go to the Club World Cup?
No World Cup. I think they do. They are an Asian team, yes? Saudi Arabia. So I think they participate in Club World Cup. I think so.
Okay. Because that's the only place we'll be able to judge the strength, maybe when they face the winners of the Champions League. Because now it's also weird. You can't just one more. Because now we know that people, they are not going to, like, you know, sometimes when you are making a move, aside from, you know, it's good money, but now, you know, you still want to improve your own career now. But now it's just like, it's just for the money. It's just for the money. Cash out.
Yeah.
Take your family with you. You might not even take your family with yourself. Just cash out, share, move. So, it's good.
Yeah. So, that's all fine. Yeah. And we've been talking about this a lot from the player's perspective. And honestly, as far as the players are concerned, I'm happy for them to make all the money they feel like they can be able to make throughout the entirety of their career. But there's something called sports washing that is actually happening here, which is basically countries trying to use sports to clean their image. It's basically money laundering, but the political version. So it is important that why we always talk about the players that are going there, we understand that, you know, Saudi Arabia still have like human rights issues and stuff going on, that, you know, the whole world is trying to get them to the level where their human rights situation is where it should be. And what they are trying to do essentially is to get people to not talk about those issues by talking about their sports, you know. And once again, like, if they offered me any amount of money to talk about Saudi Arabian football, I probably take it. It's going to take care of me, it's going to take care of my family. So the players, I feel, can do whatever they want. But for us that, you know, are covering stuff like this, I think it's still important to for people to know that, you know, stuff like this is still going on. And yeah, you know, that's that.
Then one more thing on the note of football. I don't know if you guys know the Sidemen, but they host this annual charity match, blah blah blah, you know, to raise money for charity. So which is happening on the 9th of September this year. But the funniest thing, we're recording this on the 4th of July. Yesterday, the 3rd of July, tickets went live 9 a.m.
Okay.
You wouldn't believe that 62,000 tickets, 62K tickets sold out in 90 minutes. 90 fucking minutes.
What?
I was trying to get my hands on four, but I could not even get one. So, I'm sad. I'm just sharing my pain with you guys because, you know, it's good to talk about your pain. And, you know, this is a pain that has to do with sports. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, to be honest, I feel like the Sidemen charity match would be better without you there. So, yeah.
90 minutes. Now, that's mental now.
Yeah. It's actually crazy. 60,000, over 60,000 tickets in 90 minutes is ridiculous. Okay, so let's end the podcast on that note. I liked this episode a lot. We got to cover a lot of interesting topics, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace.
Goodbye, guys. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff.